Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
Welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks, the show that takes unsolved true mysteries and cocktails and puts them together for your listening pleasure. Right, it's happening. Masood is losing his fucking mind.
No. All listeners need to know is that we recorded more than one episode today and you're a few drinks in.
And I'm a few drinks in. Yes. With me as always is fantastic Suze Kempner.
Hi, I'm eating chicken livers.
Yum, yum, yum. And the amazing Chris Stokes.
Hello. I wonder how many people might have missed the and before the welcome. It felt like you went straight in for the welcome. Doesn't matter. Shake it up a little bit. We're in a new season. We're not beholden to.
And we're already pissed, especially me.
That was my beer with dinner. And obviously,
Chris has already had a beer with dinner.
Wow. Beer with dinner. That feels very like as a kid. I felt like a really adult thing is to see an adult with a beer with dinner. It's like, it's sort of a statement of like, it's the end of the day. Yeah. I'm here with my dinner.
Time to get a buzz on and forget my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Daddy, I said time to get a buzz on.
I said time to get a buzz on.
Oh, man.
Talking
through grit. I try very hard not to, but very occasionally, there will be a point where I'm like, I'm very close to talking through gritted teeth. And I'm like, I don't want to be that dad. Because I've seen that dad in the wild. And I'm like,
I don't want to do that.
Yeah. I'm just like, Vermont, we're going this way. We're going now.
But the other day I was in a shop and a little kid, probably 2.5.
Yeah.
Running around and they had a toy and they dropped the toy near my feet. And then they were like, you know, they clamber down to get it.
Yeah.
And I was like, should I reach for it? Yeah, finally, they were shorter than me. And you do that thing where you're like, well, should I reach down and get it? And they were having trouble getting it. And then they fell while trying to get it. And they started crying. And I just picked it up, handed it to them. And their parent went, oh, thank you. And I was like, no worries. And they walked away. And that little interaction probably took 20 seconds. And I just thought, oh, that must be awful.
Yeah, it's that all of the time where it's like everything just like, it's like a farce. You've seen the farce too many times and it stopped being funny. Yeah. And you're like,
for some reason, just a man with very bad luck has arranged a lot of dates with women. And for some reason, every single woman suggests for their first date to go and see Noises Off. And it's like 300 times he's seen this show.
Yeah,
he has to see Noises Off
again.
Why is it called Noises Off? Do we know?
I've never seen it, but it's
the one where it's like it's backstage of the a farce.
It's like a burglary, isn't it? And then but then also I think it does go backstage. Basically, Noises Off for me is a weird, and the reason I one it is a farce, but two, it's. For some reason, an example of possibly the best farce ever, but also the most annoying thing.
You
know what I mean?
It's a legend of the genre.
Yeah. So if you've seen it once, then fine. Don't like.
Well, there's no need to see it again. Don't watch it.
Sure. He didn't. It is Ray Cooney, isn't it? He also did Run for Your Wife, which I think is a good title. They made a movie of it with Denise Lennon and Danny Dyer. Yes. Yeah, it was Danny Dyer's low point before he did EastEnders, and then was like recaptured the hearts of the nation.
It's a joke in Red Dwarf as well. In Stasis
is
League.
Is it?
Yeah, in Stasis League, he meets the future Lister, who's married to Kaczynski. Yeah. And he goes, have you got any pointers, any tips? And he goes, yeah, don't go and see Run for Your Wife.
That's really funny. I've just looked up Run for Your Wife, which came out in 83 and ran for 9 years in the West End. So it then took like another 10 years or whatever to have it made into a movie, more than. But yeah, so that ran till the early 90s. But Red Dwarf's like making jokes about Run for Your Wife in a show that's meant to be set 200 years in the future.
Centuries in the future, yeah.
Ray Cooney did not do Noises Off. Michael Frayn did Noises Off.
What are we drinking?
Wow.
So I made something up and it needs a name.
Ooh.
But what it is gin.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess like, just plain gin, but I use the up here spiced gin.
Oh, okay.
Ooh,
so it's that.
I'm actually not a fan, but I like the idea of it.
so it's gin, ginger liqueur, rhubarb bitters, and then I've topped it up with a can of rhubarb and ginger soda water that we had. Meant to be for mixers. So it's basically just rhubarb and ginger, a lot. And then gin at the bottom. So
that's quite good.
Rhubarb and ginger a lot sounds like that as a name.
As a name.
Yeah. I was going to suggest Noises Off.
Yeah. Run for Your Wife. Run for
what are you drinking, Suze?
Well, I've done.
As a disclaimer, before you got back on the chat, Masood, and before we hit record, Suze said that it's disgusting, but on brand.
It is. This isn't, I mean, it's delicious. I'm drinking it now, but. What I've done is I got coffee Cascabel.
Yes.
Cascabel is a very nice brand of tequila that Masood put me onto, and they do a coffee one, which has replaced XO Cafe Patron, which you'll remember I used to love. And I'm sure I've talked about this in the podcast before.
I had Cascabel tequila for my margarita.
Ah, there you go. We're a fan on this podcast. Cascabel, if you're listening, you obviously aren't. Send us some free bottles. We'll drink it. Cascabel coffee tequila. And then I'd say two parts that, and then one part, basically, a house sat for Adam Larter, who ought to come on the show at some point. It's very funny. He said, oh, look, we don't drink and we get gifted booze. So if you want any of that, have it. And one of the things was a little bottle of Johnny Walker Black Label.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
What I have is two parts Cascabel and then one part Johnny Walker Black Label.
Okay.
And then topped it up with Diet Coke. Of course I did. But that Michael had never heard about My Little Pony, Skinny and Bony, born in a stable, drinking Black Label. But I think the Black Label was Carling Black Label, not Johnny Walker
Black
Label.
Johnny
Walker.
Yeah,
I think no.
So whatever. But that's what it reminded me of. So I'm gonna call this Born in a Stable, Drinking Black Label.
That's a good name.
That's a good name.
Hmm.
What are you drinking, Missy?
Well, I've sort of gone.
Have we got the same glass?
I think we might do. Very similar.
You do, look at that. And I've just got this piece of shit flute from IKEA.
How do we? That is mad. So
that is the same glass.
Is that the one I got you, Chris, that's got your initials on it?
Oh, no. This.
This I stole from a bar and bank.
I stole it.
Oh, wow. Yes. Amazing. My favorite glass.
It gets
lovingly referred to in this house as the daddy glass. I will be absolutely heartbroken when it eventually shatters.
Oh, it never will.
Who's been using the daddy glass?
That's exactly. And my children will run in fear, and I hate that that will happen. That I will say it, and they'll go,
My glass!
Somebody's used the daddy glass. What, some squash.
What's in the daddy glass?
So we've got.
I don't like calling it that
anymore.
We're
not going to call it that anymore.
I love it. I'm going to call it the daddy ass.
What's in the daddy ass?
So we've got. I went with the cocktail recipe, which is sugar, a little bit of water, and the liquor of your choice, and ice, and bitters. And so I went with tequila. So I don't know what to call it, though. And I went with Peychaud's bitter. So it's very...
Okay. Sort of,
yeah.
I don't know what to call it, though.
Oh. In it. Just call
can
it
glass. Yeah, daddy glass.
Yeah, the daddy glass. It's the daddy glass.
The daddy glass.
Fetch Papa a daddy glass.
Lose the. It's the opposite of lose the. It's like add the the.
Add the. The daddy glass.
Or like, because it's tequila, you could Mexicanify it.
No, el wait, what's glass in
yeah, Mexican? I was going to, yeah, like.
I'm going to write in Google, I'm going to write the daddy glass.
Don't safe search off, won't you?
no, yeah, don't, leave it on.
That's always off. El vaso de papa. That's what it is. El vaso
that's a good name.
Papa. I like that, that's good. Well, Chris, what do you have for us today?
So, do you remember a long time ago, back in season two, when we had Rob Kemp on?
The Great Whirly.
Yeah, my hometown.
Yes.
Because I remember it was a local one for him.
Yeah.
So it was my hometown, home village where I grew up. And Arthur Conan Doyle came in and tried to solve a mystery. This is voted for by Patreons, as this season is. If you want to vote, get on our Patreon. And it is not my home village, but it's the next village along.
Ah.
Well, I grew up in Great Whirly, and this is Cheslin Hay.
Cheslin, it's. I love that it's two. It's got to be a two part. Cheslin Hay, Great Whirly. Is there a rivalry between your two?
Yeah. So our schools had to finish at different times of the day because
really, in case they like kicked off.
And it did kick off as well. Me and my friend Dave, we got beaten up for being from the older school.
How badly? Did you crack a rib? Did you lose your eye?
Yeah,
No, I just got my face hit a bit.
Okay.
scuffed up uniform, and your mum was mad. Yeah.
You must have done something.
No, it was out of uniform. My mum would have said. It would happen out of uniform because if you like kid my age, I don't recognise you from school. You must be from the other one.
Okay.
Anyway, so this is from Cheslin Hay. The Great Whirly Outrage is the one we did. Took place obviously while Conan Doyle was alive. It was like 1903.
Yes.
Okay.
Before my time. This happened and I remember it.
Wow. Okay.
So in 1994, a man named Roy Jones, he was a retired school caretaker for the fucking Cheslin Hay High School. He was walking his dog, who I think was called Mickey. And they were walking around Cheslin Hay. I've got a feeling it was on the school grounds, but they chanced upon a severed head.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. Bloody hell. Hey, that's Ben Gardner's boat.
Oh yeah.
Exactly. And it was January
94. Forrest Gump. Year of Forrest Gump.
January 1994. 9 years old I was.
Wow.
Yeah, same.
Obviously
I was just about to turn 9.
And obviously it becomes this like they found the head near to where you live.
It's weird, yeah.
It's basically Stand By Me.
Yeah, I was going to say. Did you go and poke the head, Chris? Did you go and
The police got to it before I could.
Oh, what? Oh, you'd have loved that. Fucking ACAB.
Yeah.
I smell bacon.
Severed head.
Severed head. The face had been hacked.
Jesus.
To try and...
To try and split up the head and put it in places like a Horcrux.
No, it's to prevent identification.
Yeah,
fuck you, J.K. Rowling. Okay, right.
It kind of like I'm reading these articles now, where the head was found and what the theory is that how the head got there. And it doesn't quite tally because it does say that they were in the high school grounds, which is what I always thought, but I know that the boundary has changed because of the M6 toll, but I don't I'm sure because they think that the head was flung from the M6 motorway, right? From
okay.
A passing car. But yeah. There's no way the M6 doesn't go anywhere. It does go near it, but nowhere near in not throwing
enough
distance from the school grounds.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure that that adds up, but that's not to say, I mean, only a few articles say that. This is not a well-known case, by the way. If
right.
when you Google this, and the only reason I know it happened, I grew up there. I remember, yeah. I remember the head being found. So it's when I look for it, it's not like there's a Wikipedia entry or anything like that. It's literally like local news stories from the time.
Wow. Yeah. So,
There might be a sinister reason why it's not picked up on the on a mainstream level, but we'll get into that because I didn't know any of
it.
Okay. I was 9 years old and a head got found nearby. So
yeah.
It was very like, I remember this quite vividly. For a time, there was a search for a body because just in case.
Yeah. We've got a head and it's fit. Maybe there's a nice body to go with. That's good stuff. Sorry that I'm drunk.
That's some good comedy.
That was good. Dr. X is just minding his own business. Actually inherits other ideas.
Mystery on the Rocks was minding its own business, but Suze has other ideas.
Suze has other ideas. I've been drinking. Now that I've found out my boyfriend likes spicy food, there's no stopping me. You have to listen to last week's episode to understand that.
So they found this head. Where were you when you heard this news? Do you remember? Were you getting beat up, Chris?
I was at the age to be kind of shielded or protected from it because as a kid, it's sort of like, well, you know, they found a head. I remember it coming back as well. I remember sort of like what must have happened is no. What the story?
It grew. It was like the thing. It went like,
when upside down on fucking spider legs.
When I was
it's terrifying.
When I was in my early teens, I remember someone saying, "Oh, they found a head." And I was like, oh, another one. But they'd only just heard about the head from years ago.
It was the same head.
Yeah.
wow, like Oliver Cromwell's head. That went through. His fucking head, man. It has its own Wikipedia entry. His head went through so many adventures. And like 20 years, it was put on a spike eventually on London Bridge. So passers-by would be like, oh, that's Oliver Cromwell's head. It was put up there for 20 years. It was definitely a skull.
Yeah
by that point, because birds would peck at it. And stuff.
Yeah, it
but
was
also,
and 20 years.
Oliver Cromwell deposed Charles I, and there's also anecdotes about his head.
People loved heads.
Because apparently, Charles I was executed, so his...
Yeah.
And apparently it was his head... looked around and judged people and then
come on
yeah.
No he didn't. There's all those stories, aren't there, the guillotine. They're like, hey, we did an experiment where we chopped someone's head off who was a criminal and then kept asking them questions and they kept looking up at us. Like, stop telling those stories, they're terrible.
How about
capital punishment?
Well, okay, so Suze, eat your words, because they found the head. They said to the head, who did this to you? And the head said, well...
let me tell you a story.
Well, no, you know, we all know what happened. They put the head behind some, like a light behind the head, and they look through the eyes, and on the back of the eyes, there was an imprint of the last person who's standing over them. Kevin Kline and Will Smith.
What's that called? There's a name for this, isn't there? Where
it's called Will Smith turned down the Matrix because he wanted to make Wild Wild West. Turned down Keanu Reeves' role in the Matrix so he could make Wild Wild West.
I'm really glad.
I agree. I don't think he would have been good in the Matrix because he's too much of a superstar.
Yes.
We've talked about this. He's in that new movie that's on Apple TV.
Emancipation.
As a slave. Yeah,
he plays a slave, and Will Smith, and he was, because he also turned down Django Unchained. I think we've already talked about this in the podcast, but he looks too much like he could use an air fryer. So Will Smith as a slave, you're just like, this guy will get out of this.
He'll be fine.
He looks like he was West Philadelphia born and raised.
Yeah, on a playground, he spent most of his days.
chilling out, Max, relaxing, all cool, shooting some b-ball. It was outside
the school. Outside the school? What I heard was a couple of guys
actually.
Yeah, they were. Believe me, they were up to no good. They started making trouble in the neighborhood.
He got in
one little fight.
Yeah, that's how he puts it.
Mum got scared.
Yeah, I'm sure.
She said, now this is, she did, I heard this from her. She said,
what did she say?
Your auntie and your uncle.
She couldn't wait to get rid of him.
Oh, she had an, he had an auntie and uncle in Bel Air. Wow, they must have been well off.
To the West Coast.
He gets there, right? This is the story from him. He says, he whistled for a cab.
Oh, that's a good idea. Mrs.
was near, and he said, fresh on the license plate. There were dice in the mirror.
Oh, fresh. Nice.
And if anything, I would say this cab was rare.
Was it?
Go home to Bel Air. House about 7 or 8. And he yells to the cabbie, "Yo, home, smell you later."
Wow, that cabbie must have stank.
He's finally there.
Finally there.
This is the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
And then he went.
My favorite is anytime you'd be in a nightclub and that would come on, there's a verse that no one knows. And everyone stops because it got cut out of the
credits. It's when he's on a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something about a stewardess being hot,
and everyone's like sort of dancing awkwardly, waiting for that bit. And they're like, "No one knows this verse." And there's one nerd who fucking is singing.
Fucking nerd. There was when at my school we used to have a talent show every year, the Oakwood School Talent Show, and there was a group of four boys decided we're gonna do the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme tune, but they kept forgetting the next bit. And people keep yelling it out. And all I remember from it was there was a bit where one of them lay on the floor and the other one covered them in Anchor squirty cream.
Wow.
I don't know where that would fit in with the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ah, my drink is actually pretty nice.
I mean, it's pretty delicious.
I mean, it's just whiskey, Coke and coffee, tequila, but the whiskey gives it a slight like, woo.
Oh, hello.
So the head was found.
Yeah.
They know who it is. They've identified. They do know who it is.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And the body was found under the arches of Manchester Piccadilly train station.
Whoa!
Shit.
That's quite a distance.
Iconic distance.
But it's also why they think that it was thrown from the motorway, because the M6 does pass Cheslin Hay. The M6 from Manchester down.
Right,
it is the Amity Island of the UK.
That's a hell of an arm, the person who threw that, though. Come on now. The distance between that and the school, right?
Yeah.
Surely. Or they ran up to the school. And then
I think it was a field in Cheslin Hay, and I think people are getting confused because he was a retired caretaker for the school.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, I don't know how it's possible to throw a head from the motorway to the school grounds. So,
no!
If it was found,
who is he? Jeff Capes.
If it was found in the school grounds, I don't think it was thrown from the motorway.
Who is he? Steve Buckley.
If it was thrown from the motorway, I don't think it was found in the school grounds.
Sorry, I'm really drunk. So. No,
I thought
sure.
You were going to do another one. I thought you were going to do.
Who is he? Fatima Whitbread.
That's the best one. Rule of three. Rule of three.
Who is he? Who is he? Denise Lewis. Too many.
Too many.
He was more of a decathlete.
The guy was a man named Adnan Abdul Hamid Al Sain.
Mm-hmm.
He was 46 years old. The body was found actually before the head. So the body was found late 1993.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Wow.
That is ages, right?
It was January the head was found.
Right.
So around the time that his body was found in a railway arch, so the headless body was found in Piccadilly Station, near Piccadilly Station, a dark Ford Escort car was seen there. They have to put car just in case they thought it was a sex worker. It was found there about 4 a.m.
It was a weird, the car, weird name for a car, wasn't it? Called it an escort.
Yeah. So the driver of the car was described as being about between 20 and 40 years of age, which is too big a bracket, I think.
That's literally anybody.
Like, I'm between 20 and 40, but I'm clearly nearer 40. So it's not like...
I'm clearly nearer 20.
I'm still applying for jobs where it's like playing age 90. I'm like Joey and Friends. Adnan Abdul Hamid Hussain was a retired Kuwaiti banker, and he'd moved to London in 1986. And he had a really nice flat in Maida Vale, and he was last seen alive doing a business dinner at the Britannia Hotel in Grosvenor Square.
Okay.
On the 16th of December, 1993.
Okay.
That was the day before his body was found.
So he's involved in something shady as fuck.
Yes. So he was a millionaire, but apparently he'd suffered quite a lot of losses after the Kuwaiti stock market collapsed in the early 80s.
Yes.
But while Sue said he's up to something shady, it looks like it might have been like as shady as arms dealing.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so he's ZZ territory.
Yeah. This,
but
this
he also had man. He had links with the Kuwait royal family. Mm. And
it's spelled letter Q, number 8.
Bearing all this in mind, and what a traditional form of Arabic punishment was beheading.
Right.
He was actually... his head was severed with a sword.
Jesus.
Oh, well, right. In 2007, 2008, I worked weeks and weeks off and on cruise ferries. Like, it's like cruise ship pianist going across the North Sea.
In Hull.
Again. Yeah, Hull to Zeebrugge. You go overnight, then you spend the day in either Hull or Zeebrugge and then go back overnight. It's 12-hour crossing. And so a lot of truckers would come over, and I started like having a relationship with some of them. What I mean is I would see and be like, oh yeah, and chat to them. And they'd come and watch me play and sing, because I do 4 45-minute sets a night. One of them, he was really nice, and we chat quite often. And then he'd go like, oh, that's so-and-so over there, I'll bring him over. And then there was one, he went, that's so-and-so over there, they're a trucker, we won't talk to them. And I went, oh, how come? He went, well, just don't. And then the guy approached me and he was like, look at this. And he showed me on the phone a beheading.
Oh! Like
and it was someone getting their head cut off with a sword. He went, look at this. And I looked at it and I was like, I don't want to go and play like Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me by Elton John on the piano.
But that was a thing. Like, because beheading videos were... Yeah. Like they circulated, because do you remember? Yes. I think his name was Ken Bigley, and
right,
was it Ken Bigley? And Billy Connolly got into a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I remember.
By doing a joke about
it wasn't great.
just get on with it or something, because they were threatening to behead the guy and whatever.
Yeah. And I remember this, and I remember reading about it and being like, "Why has he done that? Why has he said that?"
Yeah, it was a. I remember it was kind of like I think actually that was quite a. It was the first conversation I had with somebody about this idea of like you can say anything in comedy.
Right. And
I think it was with Dom, actually. I think because Dom was like, I think you should just be able to joke about anything. And I'm like, I agree, but don't
depends
you think
how you do it?
I was like, don't you think that like there still has to be a joke? And there literally was no joke here. There was literally no joke in what he said.
And didn't the audience kind of a little bit go, oh, and he started going, fuck you.
Yeah, and it was before like smartphones and everything. So I'm not entirely sure it was like recorded like it would be now. But I remember there being like a hoo-ha. But
yeah, I remember that.
This guy, there's a whole load of intrigue here that I didn't realise until I started looking into it for this podcast. So bearing in mind, I grew up when in the town adjacent, remembered the head being found. But that was my experience. And then everything else around it, I'm finding out like now for the podcast.
Oh, right. Mm.
And it's heavy because he was decapitated with a sword, which some people then were like, oh, this is a punishment by like some of his countrymen or whatever.
Yeah.
He'd lost a lot of money in the Kuwaiti stock market crash. But then the there are like other little elements as well. So like, for example, when they pieced together kind of the shape of his head, they did a clay bust. They put that on the news. His lawyer recognized him. His lawyer was the one that
I'm going to look up this.
Holy fuck.
Would you say his name was again? Sorry, I'm going to look up his name.
If you could look up his name, but it might be because I found it all by Googling Cheslin Hay severed head. But if you go to, so his name is Adnan, A-D-N-A-N.
Adnan.
Abdul, A-B-D-U-L. Abdul. And then Hamid, H-A-M-E-E-D.
W-E-D.
And then A-L. And then S-A-N-E.
S-A-N-E, head, news. I want to see this clay bust because I want it to look like the head on Art Attack.
Yeah, and it does.
Like the head.
Do you remember
on
the
Art
head
Attack?
On Art Attack?
Yeah, and it does.
Oh, look at that. It's me, the head. It looks way better. It's actually quite dignified. It's way better than that Ronaldo bust they made. Do you remember that?
But it looks like the head from Art Attack.
Yeah. Hello, it's me, the head.
Was that?
Yeah, it does look like it.
Was that a person? That was a puppet, wasn't it? It wasn't someone made up.
Yeah.
No, I think it was a puppet. Yeah.
Yeah, because it bent backwards.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way a man could do that if he was under
it. Did the Kermit thing where it was like.
Oh, yeah, where he goes.
Puts his eyes in his mouth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was the lawyer that had been representing him that recognized the clay bust. But the reason.
He's from Art Attack.
The reason that the lawyer. The lawyer was representing him in the first place was because, okay, so he was suing a business associate of his for £600,000. Mm-hmm. So the lawyer that was representing Adnan Al-Sain in that recognized the clay bust and was like, that's my client. That's how they made an identification.
Yeah.
But a couple of months after this, so it was 16th of April, 1994, in Paddington, London, a couple were shot. They were both 31 years old, man and a woman, and he was hit 4 times, the woman was hit once. They were taken to St Mary's Hospital and they were in a serious but stable condition, and he'd been a business associate of him who was being sued for $600,000. Wow. And it was the lawyer that was representing him in that case that identified him in the murder. So when he'd gone missing, 6 box files had also been taken from his flat in
Maid of Ale. Okay, someone cleaning up house.
A detective superintendent said it's bizarre and mystifying. A financial motive is the only one I can think of at the moment, unless someone tells us something to the contrary.
Someone made some bad deals and someone wants to. Someone needs to pick up the check. And the person who needs to pick up the check is our man.
There are some like really ghoulish little details in this. So, for example, he was so brutalized before the murder that when his head was found, it was missing a tooth. And when his body was found, it had the tooth in his stomach. So he'd swallowed his tooth. His head had been severed with an Arabic sword, so they thought maybe it was ritualistic. Yeah. No suspects.
The scimitar. Is that the one? The scimitar, the curved one, probably.
Quite simply, no suspects, no nothing. But the guy that he was suing was then shot 4 months afterwards.
Mm. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of loose ends to, that's, That's fucking crazy. Also, I think it's like, it shocks me a bit more because it's like shootings don't happen in the UK. Yeah.
But it was
like,
only
it just
the
feels like a weird, it's like, oh, then they shot this fucking person.
But very strangely, it was only the discovery of the head that identified the body from months, like from December.
Sure.
So when they found the body, they didn't know who it was, decapitated body in Manchester. Then they found a severed head a month later in Cheslin Hay. And then it was only when the lawyer identified the head that they were like, oh, well, that's what... Do you know what I mean? So they were like, the head is clearly from the body in Manchester, but they still didn't have an identification until the lawyer recognised the bust and said, oh, well, that's... Yeah. So the head was discovered 6 weeks after the body. It had extensive dental work that apparently, I didn't know this was identifiable, but the dental work could only have been carried out in Kuwait.
How would they know that? Is that the type of filling or type of veneer on the teeth?
Well, I mean, like dental work is as identifying as any fingerprint, they say.
Yeah.
So maybe, but they
found in Britain. Look at these bottom teeth.
Yeah.
Nash, nash.
They found the head after 6 weeks after the body, and then obviously police talk to each other, so they're like, "Oh, I think you've got the head to my body."
And, do the accent, Chris.
It's from Manchester, isn't it? I'll do it from the other way around because it's easier for me. So they were like, "I think we found a head for your body," and then it was the clay bust that at the time was apparently groundbreaking. That's how the lawyer recognized it and made the positive identification.
That's amazing.
Apparently, then they were like, "So who was this guy?" Apparently, he was very obviously rich but discreet. So they were like, "He was never flashy, even though he obviously lived well."
Shaking wards of 50s.
Casinos every club he walks into. Yeah.
He was last seen having this dinner in Grosvenor Square, and then he left to go back to his Maidervale flat. But obviously, you've got to remember that then it was very soon afterwards that his body was found in Manchester. So they think he was abducted very quickly afterwards because don't think he went to Manchester of his own volition. He might have done, but he was last seen alive on December the 14th at this dinner, and then. Because his life was so private, no one actually reported him missing until January, which was about when the head was found.
Sure.
Even though he'd not gone to meetings. So.
Oh, right.
Huh. Okay.
So, like I say, he'd moved to the UK in 1986 and was involved in arms deals.
Yeah.
His financial empire was crumbling, and also he'd lost a fortune gambling. Because he went to casinos quite regularly.
Right.
And he had another home in Switzerland and, like I said, links to Kuwaiti royalty.
Yeah. You ever been gambling, Chris?
I've been to casinos, but I've never actually felt like I wanted to gamble.
Oh, okay.
And not because... I guess, like, it doesn't feel like... It doesn't appeal. It's not necessarily a vice I'm frightened of getting. Mm. I'm just like, whatever money I have, I've got it.
Yeah.
You don't want to risk losing it.
Yeah.
Well,
not even that, really. Like, if I need to spend it, I'll spend it. But I don't, or if I want to spend it, I'll spend it. But I don't feel the need to be like, hey, maybe I'll get more from doing this. But
yeah. Gotcha. I gamble sometimes. I bet on things, usually Olympic events.
Yeah.
I bet on
who I reckon might win a gold.
I feel that's different.
I bet on the Oscars as well. I bet on Moonlight. I bet on Moonlight to win really Best Picture.
Like, Warren?
Fucking hell. And then, so when Warren being announced it, I was like, Jesus. And then, big surprise, so I won 70 quid on Moonlight winning Best Picture.
I'll never say never. But it's not something that I've ever felt the need to...
Oh, yeah,
Or the urge or the compulsion to do. Do you, Masood? Do you gamble?
No, I don't. I have been to a casino once many years ago and have gambled at that casino. But I was about 19 and it was my first and only foray into it and never really again. It didn't appeal to me at the time. But I was this is... I felt empty. I was like, meh. Yeah, I'm not really getting
so, I've only ever been to a casino because it's the only place open.
I've spent time in the Leicester Square Hippodrome because
that's exactly where
you
I
can
went
drink because, all night. Yeah.
So I went there and Ian Stone thought it was hilarious because I got ID'd on the way in. and then just had a few drinks and went. But I remember being like, because I was with another comedian. And he hit the table straight away. And he has a, I don't think it's a problem, but he does gamble.
Okay.
It was almost like a magnet to him. He just went to the tables. And I was a little bit like, like that's not why we came. That's weird.
Oh, no, yeah.
Gotcha. You know we're just here because you can drink here and order some chips and whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So
he's a bit of a naughty boy in a spot of trouble.
Is he?
I'm stealing, had his head cut off, and it does feel like he got himself involved in something, and then someone did him in. And I mean, like somebody definitely did him in. He didn't cut his own head off.
No. They found the sword in his hand.
So some people thought an example was being made of him. Well, which is, but I don't think that's the case because they tried to conceal his identity by slashing his face.
Yeah, it feels like this is somebody wanted him dead and wanted no one to know that he was. But in that show.
But get this: so he moved to the UK in 1986. The Kuwaiti stock market fell a few years before that, like in 1982. Mm. It crashed and it left him with, they think, 30 billion quid in debt.
Wow.
So
I think that's a lot. I think that's a lot of money. Sorry.
So might be a reason why he came over here, but it also might be a reason why somebody followed him over here.
Where's that money, Lebowski? Where's that fucking money?
So the arms dealing thing is, some people have contested it as like, there's no real verification for it, but I'm not going to go looking for whether he was an arms dealer or not, because there's just a lot of money at play and he got his head cut off. That's what matters to me. And there's so little information about this anyway that I only started looking into this because of a childhood fucking memory. I didn't I didn't know that there was all of this stuff at play. But what's quite interesting when you look at it is that, so you know, I said that he was suing this guy for 600,000 quid.
Yeah.
And then that guy got shot.
Mm.
That guy got shot days after the clay bust got made public. So he was decapitated in December, body was found in December, head was found in January.
Right.
They made the clay bust public in April 1994. That's days afterwards somebody got shot. That can't be a coincidence, surely.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So whoever he was suing had something to do with it all.
Yeah,
as well.
They were involved.
But, get this, the guy that got shot because of that, like, didn't die. Like, we could probably find out who he is, but there's no fucking name.
No, it's, yeah.
So, there's so little to go on here that maybe I shouldn't have done it, but I was just like, hey, there was a head found where I was.
No, hey, super cool. Maybe we'll be like one of those podcasts where this is just the start and gradually the case is solved thanks to us kicking it off.
Yeah, exactly. So these three ding-dongs started doing this podcast. Yeah. But
the guy that he sued that got shot and didn't die was shot in the face, shot in the fucking face.
Fuck.
And anyway, they tried, but they couldn't actually link the two crimes at that point. I think they've since found out that obviously it was a business associate. But this is a sentence that I love because I don't think it's true. But the investigation threw Cheslin Hay into the international spotlight. Cheslin Hay has never been in the international spotlight.
It's not like they're like, the mayor's like, finally, we're going to get that sweet, sweet tourist money.
But he was he was a global business figure, apparently. And I do remember this.
Cheslin Hay? No.
I do remember this, to be fair. Like, it says here, villagers struggled to comprehend the discovery. Of course they did. Can you imagine you growing up in a small village, a tiny little village in the West Midlands, and a head shows up? Like, of course it's like a big fucking news.
Yeah, it's huge.
So allow me to read this verbatim from the Express and Star article, because the Express and Star is a local newspaper for the West Midlands. And this is fucking lovely. The news, this article is from last year, so it's not a contemporary one, it's a recent one. And the article is, while giving a rundown of the previous evening's meeting, a parish councillor broke off from his report on dog failing, draining issues and the tree preservation orders to announce as a footnote, and they reckon there's a severed head on the school playing field.
They reckon.
Yeah,
and then said, don't get too excited. It's probably a cabbage.
Yeah, it isn't. It's a head.
It's a head. It's a man's head.
Oh, God.
So, at this point, and this is where the case is, almost 30 years, because, like, December this year will be 30 years since he got beheaded. Sure. January next year is 30 years since they found it. Why mutilate the guy in Manchester, which he had no connection with because he lived in London? Why go to, like, why mask his identity so badly? But I guess, like, because I think that's a mark of disrespect. And if you're disrespecting the guy, it's sort of like, no one will fucking know who you are.
Right.
But since then, apparently, because it's a local newspaper, the Express and Star, it's very emotive reporting. So they say two things with time became clear. Adnan Abdulhamid Hussain was murdered by forces much darker than you and I can comprehend. Right. Dark enough to ensure that Detective Superintendent Reese's assertion at the time, it's bizarre and mystifying, stood the test of decades.
Yeah.
And the barbaric nature of his death proves that in the sewer system of serious crime, money talks, but blood, thick and free-flowing, inevitably has the final word.
Oh, I thought it was something was going to rhyme with walks.
Yeah.
And good,
so money talks, but blood walks.
Yeah. I was like, no, that's not how I remember it.
That's the story of how, when I was 9 years old, a head was found.
Amazing.
That's fucking incredible.
And I do remember sort of like when a friend of mine years later said, oh, they found a head in Cheslin Hay. I did remember thinking, oh, another one. I actually don't remember being disavowed of that thought for a really long time. I remember thinking there were two heads found because it was just they'd repeated what they said.
Yeah,
a great place to jump ahead because they figure first time lucky, no one's gonna go, no one's gonna investigate it. We'll do it again. It's a great place to jump ahead.
What's that song, Jump Around? But Severed Head. Well, look. This is the podcast that is going to solve that mystery.
Yes.
It's ongoing. This is just the beginning.
I genuinely don't think... I think the people that did it don't want to be found out, so they won't fucking be found out.
Yeah. And it's 30 years. We're like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're Yeah, there's no...
Jump around.
Severed head.
Severed head. Cut off that head and get down. And they're like, we're getting down, we're giving our head down. Well, hey everyone, if you want to get bonus episodes of cocktail recipes and maybe even free stuff, you can go on our Patreon. Huh? Thanks everybody. Thanks, keep everybody listening.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.